Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A fore-visioned, a fore-pinted, a fore the heft and sway of the workaday world, a fore the branches and the boughs, a fore the leaves falling hither and thence and thus to the ground. The path leads onwards to the further realm, where desire bites the cheek like frost, and carts pass with their haze and their wheat. Oh, let us sit on the spare bench o' the cart, or perch on a bale, and resting so, find ourselves availed of the tavern light, the drinking night in the moon underwater. Swain, Robin. Good even, Swain.
Thank you.
Have you seen the hues on the moor?
Yeah.
Yeah, the beautiful hues there, changing, ever-changing.
Grey, dark blue.
Fernley Whittingstall.
those kind of hues.
Well, there's a mixture. There's the whole colour palette, pastels,
yeah.
Hugh Dennis, Hugh Grant. Yes, yep. Yes. Hugh Grant was under a beautiful pink moment in dusk.
And my friend Hugh Cooksley.
Yeah, Hugh Cooksley was there, Cookers. Mm. But it's just the most wonderful scene over there out on the moor. Did you get a chance to walk through the sort of the reeds?
The misty reeds. Yeah, I did. I went through the reeds and I did get damp feet.
Yes, yes. Well, they will be warmed by the fire here in the moon underwater. But yeah, beautiful. The ornate bridge out the back leads directly into the reeds.
I had a nostalgic moment when I was wearing Converse for the first time in years the Ooh. Other day, and it rained, and I experienced that terrible wet feet feeling, which I hadn't experienced for ages. You know, because Converse just are rubbish with rain, aren't they?
Yeah, but it was a nice dampness.
It was a nice dampness because, yeah, it was the nostalgic dampness, which is the name of your memoir.
Well, speaking of nostalgic dampness,
yeah,
I believe there is a mist in the air outside the moon underwater, and it's revealing something, Robin, in its sort of between mist and drizzle. Don't know what you'd call that.
Mizzle.
Ah, absolutely. And from the midst of the mizzle comes this week's guest, and it's none other than Russell Howard.
Hello.
Come in, Russell. Hello to you.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. And I was eavesdropping on your lovely sort of lyrical breakdown you two was having. It was great.
Were you through the sort of the resonances of the correct realm? It's like a whispering chamber, the whole realm.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when you're outside, you can hear what's going on inside the moon underwater.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of hewing. I felt it would be perfect if it was Hugh Edwards you were inviting in. But alas, he's busy.
Bit of a sore spot.
Really?
Yes. Hugh Edwards came to the Correct Realm once and he disgraced himself in The Moon Underwater. He's the only person we've ever had to chuck out.
Goodness, what did he do, if you don't mind pressing?
I'm not going to embarrass Hugh further because the press did pick up on it, but he did have to pay the fouling charge.
Goodness me.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to The Moon Underwater, our dream pub that is all hope and all desire. Russell Howard and Pubs and Russell Howard, what was your pub upbringing, your pub bringing?
I was very much a sort of child of the 90s, and I remember crisps in car parks and the adults being in the pub, and then they'd sort of appear bleary-eyed halfway through the sort of evening and give you your crisps, and I would sort of sit outside with my cousins listening to like Stuart and Lisa sort of tell you about the world. And then one of my uncles or like a friend of an uncle would come out and sort of give us just these little stories, and I loved it. I remember one of my uncle's friends, who's called Chivers, who was obsessed with fireworks until he put on a firework display so full on it scared his friend's dog, and he's never lit a firework since. He came out and he had a pint of cider and he was like, we're like 10. And he goes, you know what, boys, I could drink three of these, kill you and not know I'd done it. Do you know what I mean? We were like, brilliant. So I remember sort of my recollection of pubs is just it feeling a bit like you're in a Pogue song and there's just so much kind of madness going on. And there was a guy that used to take his rat to the pub. It was a place called the Stones Cross in Midsummer Norton. And I just remember they're just like these, like it was like the Prancing Pony, and we felt like the hobbits listening to these kind of sort of weird elders. I loved it, but it was so peculiar, you know?
Yeah, it's very strange when you sort of get glimpses of this world you don't quite understand, and you know something's going on which you're not really allowed to fully participate in.
Yeah.
But you get these sort of little odd snatches, and I think kids have a very strange understanding of drunkenness.
Yeah.
And it's a very hard thing to describe if you've never been drunk.
Yes, because you're just... I remember my mum got, I believe the term is shit-faced, in Lanzarote. And I'd never seen anything like it.
Wow.
But I thought she was like, she's going to die, because this is just... It was wild. She was kind of falling over and my dad was taking photos of her. And we, as kids, we were like my sister's trying to kind of hold her up. And it was all very jovial and funny. But I remember really vividly, like me and my brother and sister going, she's drunk. She's definitely drunk. And it was like this
like kind of emergency.
She's actually drunk. Like, this is what they look like when they get drunk, you know. And it was, that's the first time I'd seen anyone kind of declare themselves drunk. And she was all woozy. And she looked like those things, you know, those things you see outside garages.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like flail. She sort of had that. But it was, I enjoyed it. But you're completely right. Bruce Springsteen speaks about the bar with real reverence. He did like, I think it's a kind of a play, not a play, a sort of like a live monologue and songs he did on Broadway. But he speaks about being told to go to the bar and his mum going, go get your dad from the bar, and him being this kind of kid outside and trying to get in and see what was going on, what adult mischief was happening. And that's definitely how I felt. It was like, it's a bit like, you know, when you go to the Harvester as a kid and you take that step up from the kids' menu. It's like there's going to be a day when we're in a new realm, a new kind of understanding of adulthood. Do you know
when you can order the mixed grill.
Yeah.
With impunity.
But there is that real sense of sort of swagger from being the first time I remember the first time I went to a pub, I was 14, like on my own without my parents, I was 14, and I was playing for like an adult football team. Because I was good at football and they'd sort of seen me and they're like, do you want to play for us? And I played and I sort of scored and they're like, right, we got to get you down to pub and that. So I kind of sort of, me and my friend Jim went to the Checkers and kind of had like two pints, and it just felt like, We've made it. We've actually made it. We've played in an adult football game. We're now at a bar. We're allowed in because we're with them. We've had two pints. This is top shelf.
Mm. Were these pubs all sort of Southwest pubs?
So they were Southwest pubs when I went to see my family. So that's my, so all the parties that I went to where I saw adults were kind of like take place in pubs in the Southwest. Like, because my mum and dad didn't really, remember my dad had some bloke who was like a business friend who came around once and nearly choked on a potato. But that was as far as we got in terms of like sort of, there wasn't really many kind of like boozy parties at our house.
Yeah.
But the sort of, my dad's brother used to have these massive parties on the day after Boxing Day because it was his birthday. So as a young age, that was my experience of pubs. And then going to pubs when I moved to kind of Hampshire from like 11 to the first pubs I went to on my own were in Hampshire in a place called Ropley, which used to have three pubs and now has none.
No way.
Yeah, it's kind of like this little village that used to have these kind of three. And there was a thing called the Ropley Pram Race where everyone would get in you'd get a partner and you'd sort of you'd push them around in a pram. And from a young age, you had to drink three pints on the way. So, and you had to dress up. So me and my friend Jim went dressed as the old gits from Harry Enfield, and you push each other in a pram and you kind of stop at all these pubs and get drunk.
Wow.
It's proper great.
Yeah.
So, and then I started going to those pubs as a sort of 14-year-old. It's amazing. Being good at football kind of allows you into the world of kind of men quite too early.
Yeah.
like Jimmy, because you just don't end up vomiting in a garden, you know?
And what about the Bristol connection? Because you came back to the Southwest, didn't you?
Yes. So So I was, it's sort of that thing of, I always feel like the Southwest is my home.
Mm.
And then my parents moved back to Thornbury, which is obviously where you two guys, are you Thornbury?
I grew up in Bristol, but I went to school in Thornbury.
Right. Yeah. Oh, did you? What? So did you go from Bristol to Thornbury?
Yeah, I had a lift with the DT teacher, Mr. Postlethwaite.
Wow.
Yeah, every day for 5 years.
Why? Well, there's a lot of schools in Bristol.
My dad was head of English, and he sort of...
Oh, I see. Well, that makes... Hang on a fucking minute. So So your dad wouldn't drive you, the DT teacher?
He can't. Yeah, my dad couldn't drive.
So how did your dad get there?
With Mr. Postlethwaite too.
Oh, I see. Right, well, that's a lot less weird.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, But then my dad did retire during my school career, so then it was just me and Mr. P.
Just you and... Yeah.
But the thing is, the relationship formed when I was in year seven and I was very shy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sort of never evolved out of that, even by the time I was 18. But we had Classic Gold on every day, and I think, you know, I got a lot of good knowledge of 60s, 70s, 80s music from that, so... It wasn't all bad.
Did you chat with him?
Well, no, it was pretty, you know, as I say, I sort of still felt like a shy year seven.
Right, forever.
When I was with him. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if you're listening, Mr. P, I'm sorry and thank you.
Yeah.
Well, and nice. Fun trivia fact, Russell, could you guess who Robin's date to the sixth form ball was?
Mr. Postlethwaite, is that?
Yeah.
I don't know. That isn't me being an arsehole.
I wanted to break down the barriers, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was one Kerry Howard.
Was it? Oh, lovely. Yeah. I didn't know that. Nice. Did you have a good night?
Yeah. But
Kerry Howard's my sister. We should point that out for people listening. Yeah.
And a very fine actress and comedian in her own right. But Kerry, I don't think she'd really... drunk very much before, and I started with tequilas.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and she the rest of the night was a bit of a blur for her, I think.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm going to defend my sister here. That's on you.
Yeah, sorry about
that. You don't start an evening with tequila unless you're in a fucking 80s rock band, which you weren't. But you know what I mean? It's like, was that you panicking again? Right, let's get going.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I mean, God knows.
But that's the sort of idiotic decision you make when you're new to alcohol.
Yeah.
Mm. Because you don't quite understand how it affects you. So I remember going to the party for the end of the school play, and I had got a bigger boy to go to the shop for me. There must have been like 20 bottles in my bag.
Wow.
And I think after like three, I was a mess. And after four, I was being sick.
Oh.
But the idea that like, even now, I wouldn't drink 20 bottles of beer. But good times, good times.
And I imagine there would have been a lot. I don't think there's anything sadder than vomiting with a mohawk. Like when you arrive at the party, there's a real. I remember John's hawk, and it was, you know, it was impressive. It was stiff. There was real, like, there was that real sense of, like, it's a bit like you know, Summer of Sam, that actor. It's like John was very skinny, a lot of heroin chic going on.
Adrian Brody. Yeah.
That's right. He looked like him. Mm. And then you'd be like, wow, this guy's a poet. He's a fighter, and he makes kind of ships. You know what I mean? Like, you can't pin him down. And then an hour later, he's being sick in the head. You're like, oh, he's just a dick, I guess. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's something really sad about a hawk. A hawk that just sort of, when the hawk is all splayed, because I've seen it.
Yeah, the hawk gets splayed, yeah.
And it's no longer stiff, and it's just sort of just like lolloping down. It's like a big old spaniel's tongue. It's sad.
Well, also, you never see a hawk straight on, like vertical when someone's bending over. To actually see the hawk is, from that angle, is like seeing a bald spot. So do you go to, like, I mean, we were having a conversation recently, and, you know, you were saying, there came a point in my career when I just couldn't go to a pub. I couldn't, like, hang out. I couldn't just decide, oh, I'll pop to the pub, because you're very recognisable and a lot of people come up to you. Is that something that, like, does that bother you? Because that would mean I couldn't do 50% of the things I do. Yeah. So that would be, it's a big change to kind of adapt to.
Yeah, I think, you know, not to get too deep, I think you give off an energy when you're in a pub of, we should probably not bother this guy, because there's something religious about you in a pub. Like, whenever you see John with alcohol, you're like, okay, there's a lot going on here. There's a reverence for it. And I never really had that kind of relationship with booze, never really had that relationship with pubs. So it wasn't really, I only started drinking, really. I drank when I was at university and then kind of stopped, you know, because I wanted to be Ross Noble and I wanted to be Daniel Kitson. And and all the greats in comedy when I was growing up didn't drink. And I was driving to gigs, so I wasn't really drinking. So I didn't drink until I was 26, when I lived with you and John, and Ulva. And I remember John kind of got me back into
John
drink.
Richardson,
yeah, yeah. Richardson, and both and John Robbins. You both kind of, I don't know. You sort of had a real, I don't know what the word is. Richardson's definitely got a reverence for booze, and you had a nice kind of reckless relationship with it. So it was like, right. So occasionally when we weren't gigging, you'd go out and get fucking annihilated and. be really funny. And it was really interesting that you, once you were drunk, could tap into this side of you that was so funny and was the real center and the core. And I already had that. I didn't need that. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know if you necessarily needed it.
I have to be honest, it's diminishing returns after a while.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I don't know. Like, and John had a real kind of, like, fondness of alcohol and almost like this sort of medicinal, almost like medicine. He would sort of say, right, what am I going to have now? And he would look at the booze like the sorting hat. Oh, which one of you am I going to choose? And it was, so you couldn't help but watch that and go, oh, I wonder what he's going to have. I wonder what this little expert's going to pick. I believe I'm going to have you. And he would sort of pour it. And then he'd look at you and I was like a dog. And he's like, I suppose you want some of my scraps, do you? And he would kind of pour me a little bit. And it kind of, I got reacquainted with alcohol. And oddly, the older I've got, I now drink so much more than I did when I was a kid. And in terms of going to pubs, if I'm going out, my wife will go for a meal. We wouldn't go to the pub.
Yeah.
You know, but I love going to, I love going out with my friends. So my friends from university, and we'll kind of get drunk and it's brilliant. And I feel safe in a group and I love hanging out with my cousins and getting drunk. But that's really the only time that I would go to pubs. Do you know what I mean? Or I might go with my brother in Bristol. There's various places that I kind of, you know, I can kind of go to and it's fine. But if you're going out on a Saturday night, you're kind of inviting, I don't know, you don't get to complain about not being, oh, just leave me alone. It's a Saturday night. You're in a pub in the city, in the middle of Manchester. Like, you're clearly here because you want to be recognised, you know?
Mm. You're one of the few people I've seen who drinks red wine like most red wine drinkers think they drink it. Because you genuinely will drink like a glass, maybe two, and you'll really sort of, you do like appreciate it. And you know how, I think that's how red wine drinkers who drink two bottles of red wine with a meal or whatever, they think they're drinking it like that.
Yeah.
But I was always really impressed by like...
I can stop myself.
Yeah, it's the restraint, but it's not like you're fighting against the need to get really pissed, but you just would genuinely have a glass of wine with dinner.
Yeah.
And I think very few people, a lot of people say they do that, but I think very few people do actually have a glass of wine with dinner.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't... It's interesting, particularly with wine. Every so often I quite like a glass of wine, but I wouldn't just like our mutual friend Dan Atkinson is a real, you know, he can just pound it. I just don't have much of a tolerance for booze.
Mm.
But I love going out with my friends and getting drunk. But there is always that point, I get to about 12 or 1, where I just taper off and just kind of just realize, you're like, I don't want to be annihilated. I can stop myself quite easily.
Wow.
And I often think it's pretty, I feel super lucky because I know so many people that just chase it and chase it and chase it, but I've got this sort of internal thing where I'm like, I think I'm all right.
Mm.
You know.
So Russell Howard's dream pub, what are we talking here? What sort of pub would you like it to be? And who would you, what sort of vibe?
I'll tell you what I don't like. You know, a lot of my friends go, oh, let's find a nice old man pub. Let's find an old... I don't want to hang out with old men. I don't particularly like old men. It's very seldom that I would kind of go, God, do you want this night needs? Some old men. It feels a weird thing to look out. Like, even as kids, we need to find an old... No, we need to find a young girl's pub. Not, you know, like a young woman's pub. We need to pick, you know what I mean? But so I like, particularly now at the ripe age of 42, I like going to a bar that's nice and busy where I can find a corner and there's a nice hubbub and there's a lovely mix of, you know, that sort of 20 to kind of 40, you know, and there's a little bit of madness and a little bit of excitement and there's young people just being young and having fun and there's a reckless abandonment to it. I like watching that. I remember my stag do was in Vegas and we went to this day club and it was absolutely brilliant. So basically you're in this sort of swimming pool and my friends were all kind of getting drunk and I was looking at all my friends and I felt super proud because they represented so many different aspects of society. And it was like this lovely moment where you go, I think I'm all right. Because if you look at all my friends, they all like come from different worlds and they all kind of coalesced and we had this brilliant day and kind of got drunk in Las Vegas and there's like a pool party and my brother, there's a pole in the middle of the pool and there's DJs playing music. It was a situation you'd never be in. But to watch this zoo, it was absolutely brilliant. And my brother swam out to the middle of the swimming pool. Nobody was in this pool and started like grinding on the pole and was swinging around the pole. And there was like 4,000 people cheering. It was so great and so funny. I'd far rather do that than I would listen to an old man going, of course the world's bloody changed on it. Like, I'm not really interested in... Very often you find old men say things like, oh, I've seen it all now. And you're like, you just haven't. Yeah. You've seen very little.
So your pub's going to have a pool in the middle with a grinding pole.
No, it's got access to that. There's different rooms.
Yeah.
So that is, I don't know if you've seen that, the MTV Cribs episode where Ludacris is showing his house. And he opens his kitchen and he turns to the camera and goes, Ludacris got himself a football field. It's like that. So there's basically, there's a door A bit like the Kevin Costner film, The Field of Dreams, where if you open the, if you build it, it will come. Whatever your heart desires in my pub, if we're going to make it magic, let's go for it. It has a multitude of doors that one can open, and your own personal Narnia is there, whatever you need. And what this pub manages to do is it manages to access what you need for this particular night, what you and your friends need to give, to turn a moment into a memory.
Wow.
And if it's a pool with, you know, poles and everyone in trunks and bikinis and a DJ playing music, so be it. If it's another night where it's Scrabble, fine.
What if you don't like what you find out you need?
Then you've got to drink through that misery. And
you just open the door and there's an AA meeting there.
Yeah.
Not tonight.
Exactly. Yeah. But then that would be quite good, because in a sense, the pub is telling you, it's like, this is the end of the road, chief.
In many ways, the pub you're describing is very close to the moon underwater itself, which is fascinating. Fascinating to see.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We need to start stocking this pub with the things that it doesn't reveal. First off, 2 draft items.
Okay, I'd like Guinness on draft.
Yes.
Obviously, I don't drink Guinness, but my tour manager and friend, the mighty Kumar Kamalagaran, loves a Guinness. And whenever we're in a pub after a show, he'll ask them if they've got Guinness. And when they say they do, he looks so happy. There's just this, because he's put so much effort in, particularly if we're doing an arena, he's sorted out the sound, he's done everything. He's put in a real shift, and then he gets a Guinness, and he does this little noise where he just goes, yes. And his little sort of man boobs just shake. And I genuinely think that should be the Guinness advert of, like, forget horses in the sea. If you see Kumar's jiggling titties and him say yes, it just cheers me up no end to see the look. When he has that first sip of Guinness, it makes me so happy because, like, he's not faking it. Do you know what I mean? You can just tell he's really enjoying the taste, the texture, and it's the beginning of a guaranteed pleasant couple of hours.
It's always a fantastic sign when a guest at the Moon Underwater is picking choices for others as well as themselves. So hear to that.
Oh, absolutely. But do you know what I mean? It's like when you see somebody like a drink, but and similarly, the other one is I would, for myself, I'd have a really nice Pinot Noir.
On draft?
Not on draft, but I didn't realise... Oh yeah, because that would be terrible.
We'll come to that. So
okay,
what would...
Okay, so on draft for me, it'd be like a low alcohol beer. Then I guess like, I don't know, like Amstel, because when I drink beer or cider, I drink quite quickly, so I need something kind of low alcohol to level me off.
So low as in like sort of 4%, not as in like a non-alcoholic beer.
I've got no problem with a non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah,
but yeah, 4%. Like let's say an Amstel. You know, what's that? That's low, isn't it? I think that's 4.1, I believe.
Pint of Simon.
Oh, Pint of Simon. Do they call it that?
No, I do, but it hasn't caught on.
It should do.
Yeah.
I like that. But then people might assume you were having mushrooms, given that he really enjoys chatting about that.
I'm just looking up in my mind the strength. It is 4.1.
Nice.
Nail on the H. Yeah, that's a good mix, Guinness and Amstel. Robin, your thoughts on Amstel as a lagerman?
I don't mind. I don't mind an Amstel. Yeah, it's reliable. My friend Sam Wistanoff stands by Amstel a lot. He drinks it a lot. It's too much. it's good. I've warmed to your Moretti's, your Amstels in recent years. I used to be a little bit sniffy about them, but they do tend to be pretty reliable.
Yeah, I think that's what you're looking. You're not looking for an Aston Martin. You're looking for a Ford Fiesta that's going to get you through the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go to the pub.
Well, next up we have your bottles and or cans.
Yep.
So what are we going for there?
But I do a bottle of Corona again, very simple, you know, very summery drink. Just again, really reminds me of I love a beer garden and just an easy, icy Corona or a Copperberg. I like a Copperberg as well. 4.5, I believe.
I think maybe even 4.
Is it
Copperberg?
Yeah, but that's very much my thing. If I'm out drinking, we normally have an early start with my friends or my or my cousins, and I have to, because I drink quite quickly when it's not wine, and I just have to have something that just levels me off. Otherwise, me and my brother will end up arguing, and we've had some spectacular rows.
Really? What, drunk? Do you argue more when you're drunk?
Yeah. Yeah, lots of some spectacular rows down the year. I mean, we argue sober. We once had a terrific fist fight on Towers by the Swans. And so we've got that in us. I mean, I love him and he loves me, but we can really wind each other up. And I think maybe that's another reason why I kind of ease off on drinking too much, because I can get a bit just pissy with people, you know.
What's been the smallest thing that's caused the biggest argument?
Weirdly, on my stag do, I'd organised lots of fun things to do, and he organised one night, even though he was the best man. And we ended up in like this karaoke bar. It was a bar called Hogs and Heifers. And he was...
What's that got to do with karaoke?
I don't know. But he was reliably informed it was the best bar in Vegas. And it was just, there was nobody there. And I was like, God, you had one job. And it was because there was like 10 of us and I wanted everyone to have fun. And I was really, I get annoyed when he doesn't put effort into making things fun, because I really like organizing, you know, right, we've got this around the corner and then we got this and then you're gonna love that, you know what I mean? I quite like ensuring it's gonna be exciting.
I could just imagine him trying to argue the case for Hogs and Heifers.
Yeah, exactly.
Russ, they got a massive pig. What other bar in Vegas has got a massive pig?
Exactly. Well, that's what I love. What I adore about Daniel is that he's the greatest little brother, because you just never... I mean, we were going to a nightclub once and they were checking you on the way in, and there's a bit of a commotion. It was after a gig or something, and there was a bit of commotion ahead of us, and it was my brother, and he was being asked to put what he had in his pockets in the bin, and my brother's like, comedy rules, you've got to put me in the bin. He's like, and he basically took like a load of cotton buds to a bar, and he was trying to take like cotton buds, and I was like, just put them in the bin. And he's like, what if my fucking ears get itchy? I was like, but it was, he was like, this place is ridiculous. And was in a real mood for the rest of the night. But it's like, in what realm are you going to be in the middle of like a night out in a nightclub and go, God, I tell you what, my ears are waxy. I might just find a little corner just to clean them out. But I love the fact that he got angry about that and was willing to, rather than just go, oh yeah, sorry, mate, I can't believe they're there. It was like, they're my buds. What's your problem with buds? It was like, I'm not sure it's worth having a fight about, Dan.
I remember one of the biggest arguments I had with my brother growing up was about the MC Hammer song, You Can't Touch This.
Yeah.
Because I was singing it going, da-da-da-da, da-da. And he was going, no, it doesn't do that. It goes, da-da-da-da, da-da. Da-da, like that. And we had a big argument. And the answer is, of course, you know, it does both. There is that kind of, you know, I wish I could go back in time and just settle that between us and say we were both right.
It's so funny, though, isn't it? When you have those those weird peccadillos about...
Yeah.
I love that. Like, I often think about that, you know, the NWA song, Straight Outta Compton.
Mm.
And I think, who's the first? Straight Outta Compton. So Eazy-E is the third one. The first one is Dre.
Right.
And he basically kind of, Straight Outta Compton is a crazy motherfucking Ice Cube. That's his name. Mm. And he comes out and he says, you know, he's going to shoot you. He's going to do all this to you. You better watch out. And then I think Rem comes out, the second guy, and he's like going, Straight Outta Compton, I'm going to do all this to you. I'm going to shoot you. You better watch out because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then clearly, By the time Eazy-E comes out, he's run out of things he could do. So he kind of goes, his thing is, it's a brother that'll smother your mother and make your sister think I love her. And it's like, I just remember finding that so funny as a kid, that he's like, I'm going to kill your mum and I'm going to make your sister fall in love with me, but I won't love her. But it's, I love those. There's something, you never have the time that you have when you're a kid to really just be with a song and listen to it over and over before your brain goes, what, this is nonsense. Why is the MC Hammer doing that? Or having an argument about that. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
So your two bottles are Corona and Copperberg, are they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what's flavour?
Wait, Pinot Noir. No, are we not having a Pinot Noir?
No, that's not a... Is that a bottle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's a bottle. Sorry, yeah, I just assumed.
We don't have to have it.
Let's have a Corona and a Pinot Noir because for me, it depends what kind of evening I'm after. If I'm after an evening of conversation and, you know, listening, then I would definitely go for a glass of Pinot. I remember having an amazing, that my favourite is a thing called, what's it called? It's called Two Paddocks by,
ooh.
And it's the, it belongs to Sam Neill from Jurassic Park fame.
Share, share, tell, tell.
Well, during COVID, I was in January 2021, I was there. I was in New Zealand. I had to do 2 weeks in quarantine, but I was allowed to go ahead and do my shows. And I'd made a documentary about, you know, doing comedy in COVID. And one of the people I hung out with was Sam Neill. And I had a day with him on this vineyard that he runs called Two Paddocks. And it was just the best day. He was just such a great guy. And it was sort of around that era where we've been starved of connection. And it really felt like hanging out with this just brilliant village elder who had so many interesting stories. I had a real fondness for wine. And he said that each wine glass, the grapes go back thousands of years and the strength of wine is that it creates a degree of conviviality and the stories flow. And he just, it was his description of wine and his mesmerizing words about its ability to kind of blend people together. And something about him saying all that and then me gulping it down. I was going, say what, you're right.
He grew those vines from a grape that was encased in amber, didn't he? That he extracted the DNA from.
Oh, very good.
And replicated. Do you get?
I do get the reference. Yeah, and I was actually wearing a leather jacket, and I'd previously been in a big film about insects.
And you turned round in the vineyard and are just looking down at you with these enormous bunches of grapes.
Yes, yeah, oh, exactly.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Well, that I would love to be talked to about wine by Sam Neill before sampling his two paddocks Pinot Noir.
It was terrific.
Well, we take a break from Russell Howard's Dream Pub to expand our brains in the Moon Underwater Pub Quiz. Robin.
Okay, everybody, pens out, eyes down, it's time for the quiz. He played for Zimbabwe, but he was born in South Africa. I know Alaska is bigger, that wasn't the question. Put your phone away. Right, Michael Jackson's Funky Monkey have been deducted 5 points. Yes, welcome to the Moon Underwater Pub Quiz. So, John and Russell hail from the southwest. But how well do they know the fair city of Bristol? So that's right, it's three questions about Bristol, me babbers. So let's get cracking. We'll do three questions and then we'll go to the answers in part two. So question one.
He was a DT teacher.
Question one. What was the name of the Bristolian bodybuilder who played Darth Vader in the famous Star Wars series of films? So who played Darth Vader? Didn't do the voice.
No.
For reasons that are probably obvious. Question two. Cary Grant was born in Horfield, Bristol, which is where I'm from. Mm. But what was his real name? What was Cary Grant's real name? And question three. In 1997, the Bristol Royal Infirmary developed the Bristol Stool Scale, a widely used diagnostic medical tool used to classify the different types of human faeces. But how many categories of doo-doo are on the Bristol Stool Scale?
Oh, interesting.
How many categories of poo are there?
Good cue, man.
Thank you. So those are your three Bristol questions. Let's see how well we all did.
Well, folks, we will remove you from those Bristolian tenterhooks at the start of part two. But just a reminder, if you want access to features such as Russell Howard's Dream Pub Companion, early access to live tickets and the bonus podcast Behind the Cellar Door, head over to moonunderpod.com to click on the Patreon link. But we thank you for your time and we'll see you back in part two.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.